The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The gospel of the Lord. In 2020, I will start washing my hands after I use the restroom. In 2020, I will watch less TV in standard definition. In 2020, I will lose weight by hiding it somewhere you will never find it. In 2020, I will buy new clothes big enough to account for next year's holidays. In 2020, I will stop buttering my donuts. In 2020, I will pay off my credit cards every month in full with other credit cards. Well, the kind of New Year's resolutions that we make really reflect our priorities. They reflect the things that we think are most important to our lives that we need to improve. And leading contenders for resolution this year, as almost every year, is relate to weight, finances, and health. But as disciples of Jesus, what kind of New Year's resolutions should we be making? And especially as we begin not just a new year, but actually a new decade. So I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles today to our gospel reading, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40, where we're going to meet two people who might help us think through these New Year's resolutions, Simeon and Anna. They oriented their lives in a way that they could be useful to the kingdom of God. Now, neither of them would have been thought of as great by the world's standards. They had no power. They had no money. They didn't lead large armies. They didn't have control over large areas of land. They weren't influencers. They didn't have large following on Twitter. They were just normal people. In fact, They were obscure figures who at a moment of time were used by God because they had made themselves available to him. You know, during the first century, the Jews had been waiting for an awfully long time for the coming of their Messiah. It had been hundreds of years and nothing but silence. And they were waiting, much as we are today, waiting for the second coming of Jesus. They were waiting. And then in verse 26, we learned that Simeon had been promised that one day he would see the long-awaited Messiah. It had been revealed to him that he would not die before he saw the Messiah. So how did he come to know this? Well, Luke says it was revealed to him through the Holy Spirit. He had received a revelation from God. We don't know if he had a dream. We don't know if he saw a vision. We don't know if he heard a voice. But what we do know is this, is that somehow it was made known to him. And this is really incredible and quite amazing, because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given to the disciples of Jesus at that point, to anyone at that point. It was not until Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit began dwelling in the lives of disciples of the Messiah. Up to that point, only a few had received the Spirit, some of the kings of Israel and some of the prophets. But Simeon was one of those unique ones. He was given the grace to have the Holy Spirit even before it had been widely given to the followers of the Messiah. I don't think the revelation that Simeon received should be looked at as something extraordinary, like this is unique in history. Especially for us, because we are people who have received the Holy Spirit. And for everyone that receives the Holy Spirit, revelations from God, things that he reveals to us, should be considered normative, not something extraordinary. Others in the New Testament certainly received revelations from God. Paul received a revelation that he would be an apostle, but not just any apostle. He would be an apostle with a specific purpose to call Gentiles to faith and obedience to Christ. And Jesus himself, as he looked upon how the Holy Spirit revealed things to him, said in Luke 4:18, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And if we look actually throughout the New Testament, we will see the different times that the Lord revealed different things through the Holy Spirit to his people. Well, what has the Holy Spirit revealed to you? I don't think the Lord would go to the trouble of bringing salvation to us if he wasn't intent on revealing things to us. But we have to put ourselves in a position where we can be available to him so that we can hear his voice. So on the day that Jesus' family came to the temple, God used another person, Anna. Now, no mention is made whether or not she had received from the Spirit a word about the Messiah. But we are told this, that she is a prophetess who, by means of the Holy Spirit, had been revealed to her, and she proclaimed things to God's people. So why could she be used by God? Well, here's what we know about her, that she was an 84-year-old woman who became a widow after only 7 years of marriage. And verse 37 says that she spent her day in the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Now, her extreme dedication to the Lord put her in a position where she could be available to the Lord. She set aside her life in an extraordinary way, but as such, the Lord could use her. Now, by contrast, We don't know really anything about Simeon's life and how he spent his time. But we are told something about his character, that he was righteous and devout, and certainly made himself available enough so that he became aware of the revelation from the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah. Now, for modern-day disciples of Jesus, people like us, you know, it's really challenging to be sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit, isn't it? It's challenging because of our busyness, our distractions, and all the competing agendas that are trying to make their way in our lives. You know, why are we so much busier, it seems, than past generations? Even though we have so many more gadgets to make our lives simpler. And yet almost the very first question that people say is, well, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy, right? And it doesn't matter if you're 20 or if you're 80, it's still, I'm busy. It isn't because we're working more. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics' current population survey, while we may legitimately feel busy, Americans' working hours have steadily decreased over the last seven decades. In 1948, when the government started keeping track, Americans worked an average of 42.8 hours a week, and today it's 38.7 hours a week. So why do we feel so much busier? Well, first of all, there's actually been a lot of research on this, and one of the things that comes up is that in our culture, busyness is a status symbol. It's a status symbol. In America, we're defined by what we do. Our careers and what we produce are the things that matter to us. And it's the first question that we ask each other at parties, and often the first tidbit of information that we give to strangers is, well, we talk about what we're doing. And the implication is, if I'm not busy, then somehow I'm something less, not worthy, or at least worth less than those who are producing stuff. And so people fill their lives with their Facebook feeds and their calendars to create a self-important busyness to avoid just being. But secondly, busyness has become a time filler. In the age of abundance of choice, we have infinite ways that we can fill our time, either online or not online. And we throw ourselves into frenetic activity and give ourselves a perfect excuse for not doing the big thinking stuff. In being busy, we feel productive even while we're procrastinating. So all of this busyness, in whatever form it may be in our lives, creates barriers from us being sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. A good New Year's resolution will address the necessity of intentionally living a countercultural life and giving up busyness so that we can be available to God. Now, in contrast to most of us, Jesus was always attuned to how the Spirit was leading him. He lived his life in communion with the Father, and the Spirit made known to him how he was to live. After his baptism, we're told that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and led into the wilderness where he was tempted. Simeon as well was guided by the Spirit to go to the temple that specific day when Jesus was being dedicated in the temple. Following the promptings of the Holy Spirit gives our lives an intimacy of relationship with God. We learn God's will for our lives, and the more we follow the promptings, the better that we will be able to hear. Mary and Joseph didn't know what they were getting into when they went up to the temple with their child who was 40 days old. Jewish law, though, required that having delivered a child, women were to go to the temple to complete purification rites. And this required for them to make a sacrifice of either two turtle doves or two pigeons. And at the same time, they were to dedicate their child to the Lord. In Jewish law, the firstborn male from any womb belonged to the Lord. And so a prescribed ransom would have to be paid for the child. It was not necessary that the child himself were to come. And so in bringing Jesus there, Mary and Joseph were actually doing something beyond what the law required. Well, that day, Simeon, being led by the Spirit, having heard the Lord, went to the temple. He probably didn't know why the Lord was prompting him that day. Perhaps he thought that he was supposed to go and pray or to offer a sacrifice. He certainly didn't expect what he'd been waiting for, perhaps decades for. And as usual, Anna had gone to the temple to worship and pray, not knowing who she would see that day. At the temple, the lives of these devout people of God would suddenly collide. Each were acting out of obedience to the Lord. Mary and Joseph in their commitment to follow the precepts of the law. Simeon in obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And Anna following the routine of her devotion to the Lord. Each party then became inspired by the other. When Simeon saw the child, he picked him up and he joyfully exclaimed, "Master, my eyes have seen your salvation." And then Simeon blessed his parents, Mary and Joseph. And they were filled with amazement at the words that were spoken by him. So profound was the revelation of who their son was. Mary and Joseph's life would never be the same. Simeon would never be the same either, for he had seen what had been promised to him long before, the Messiah, God's salvation for the whole world. Now imagine if Simeon just ignored those promptings. Imagine that he had other things that were more important. I mean, the NFL playoff games are today. I mean, perhaps that would have been his excuse. Or something needed to be done around his house. Simeon would have missed out on the assignment that he'd been given. And there might not have been another chance for this encounter. Because remember, the Holy Family went to Galilee immediately after this. The promptings of the Holy Spirit give our lives eternal significance. You know, for most of our lives are pretty mundane. I mean, if we really start looking at it, it's pretty mundane how we live. And the same was definitely true of Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Anna. And yet because of the events that took place in the temple, not only were they changed, but unbeknownst to them, their exchange was recorded in Luke and now has been memorialized in the church. Indeed, every day, those words proclaimed by Simeon are recited as part of the evening prayer liturgy in the Anglican, Orthodox, and Catholic churches. When we're obedient to the Lord, we never know the eternal significance our actions may be having. A testimony shared simply with the person could lead to a conversion. And that conversion might lead to the next Billy Graham or Mother Teresa. Our assignments are always about furthering the kingdom of God. When Simeon identified Jesus, he proclaimed the global scope of Jesus' ministry. And he said that he would be a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. In February 1980, the U.S. Olympic hockey team walked onto the ice and won a gold medal at Lake Placid, New York. That team shocked the world because they upset the powerful Soviet team and they grabbed the championship from Finland while the crowd chanted USA. Before the team's victory, the coach had huddled the team together. He gathered them around. And this is what he said to him. He said to them, "You are born to be a player. You are meant to be here at this time. This is your moment." And similarly, we were created by God for this moment in human history too. We have each been given assignments. No matter if the odds seem against us, remember, this is not through your power. It is through the power of God working in our lives. This new year provides us with an opportunity to make a New Year's resolution that will matter, a resolution to be more available to God and the promptings of His Spirit. The Lord is speaking to us, but will we be able to hear? Amen.